Go ahead and open your Bibles to Philippians. No speaker today. Philippians chapter number 1. As we go through this book, this letter, just by way of reminder here, as we're thinking about the mind of Christ, gaining in every aspect of our life more and more the mind of Christ, the mind of the Messiah, the one who came from heaven. Didn't have to. He did not have to leave the blessings, maybe the wrong word, but the status. He didn't have to leave that place, Jesus. He didn't have to leave. But he counted it as something not worth hanging on to become our Savior. It was worth it. Giving it all up was worth it. And that kind of mindset, the kind of others-focused mindset, the kind of sacrificial mindset, even to the death, the kind of love that is what our Savior showed is the kind of love that we're trying to develop here in our own lives as we look to Him, as we look to His example, and we look to Him for enablement. May we in all things have the mind of Christ. And one of the things that points to finally being perfected in this, when we stand before Him in glory, when we're glorified ourselves, is the fellowship that we have as believers. That actually is a precursor, you might say. That is a witness to our glorification and our perfect communion with Him when we're glorified. It starts, that work starts here. And especially in the context of an assembly like we have here, that's demonstrated in our relationships with each other, in our interactions with each other. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. He's saying that to believers in the context of operating and in the context of the relationships that you have with your fellow believers here and now. Let this mind be in you. And that gospel, the gospel of Jesus, the good news that Jesus became a man, that is what our fellowship is surrounded, is around. That's what our fellowship is in. It's in the gospel. It's in that good news of Jesus. Philippians chapter 1, verses 3 through 8 are the verses here. If you have your Bibles open there. Philippians chapter number 3, chapter number 1, verses 3 through 8. Let's read this this passage together. Philippians 1, 3 through 8. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. Fellowship in the gospel is what Paul demonstrates here in his open, loving language here, his affectionate language here. He's demonstrating the mind of Christ, which, as we've talked about in a previous Sunday, he also demonstrated when he was there with them, right? When he went on that journey to Philippi after receiving the call of God to that place, after being redirected a bunch of times, he demonstrated in just an amazing way the mind of Christ in how he sacrificed. He sacrificed even the simple right of saying, I'm a Roman citizen, you better not beat me. He sacrificed that, allowed himself and his companion to be beaten for their sake. And I just have a map up there, just as a reminder of where Philippi is and the journey that he took. And right now, he's probably writing from, I think he's writing from Rome here at this point. So he's far away from them, and he's saying, man, I wish I could be over there with you. And I compare, I care about you, and that is that's the context of him writing here. Again, he's writing to a Roman colony. This is Philippi, that little city. Here's another map. That little city all the way up there in Macedonia. It was actually a colony of Rome, and these people, because they were a colony, because it was basically the soldiers or Roman legions or whatever were occupying there, kind of became an outpost for Rome, and so the people there had the privilege of saying, you know, we're Roman citizens. We have the rights of Roman citizens. And they were very proud of that citizenship. That was something that they cared about. And as you'll see as we go through Philippians in the coming weeks, this is something that's kind of in the back of the mind of Paul as he's writing, the idea of citizenship. Where is your citizenship? These people, even the members of the assembly at Philippi, most of them at least, had Roman citizenship, and that's not the best citizenship that they had. It's kind of the point that Paul makes to them as you go throughout. But this is the city that the church is in that he's speaking to, and it wasn't a wealthy city either. Okay, it wasn't like what was the other city? Some of the churches that Paul was had ministered in and wrote letters in and whatnot had more means or less means, right? Philippi wasn't necessarily one of the rich places. Corinth probably would have been more well-to-do. I think Laodicea might have been one that was more well-to-do, being along one of the main Roman routes. And actually, I don't know if Paul wrote letters to Laodicea, but that would be an example of one of these first century churches that maybe had a little bit more wealth. Philippi had the trades and commerce, but they weren't necessarily overflowing with wealth. And that's just a point that it's maybe important to make, especially as we talk about some of the things that, you know, as we expand on some of the things that this passage lays out. But fellowship in the gospel is the idea here. And fellowship has a little bit different meaning than maybe you might immediately be thinking. Okay, fellowship, what do you all think of fellowship? You know, think of the idea of fellowship. What comes to mind? What ideas?
Eating,
okay, yeah. It's a part of it.
Pizza Ranch.
Pizza Ranch. Yeah. Yeah, just being together, right? Being together, of course, and this is a very biblical thing, that eating is a part of all that. Very real part of fellowship in the Christian sense, as you read the New Testament. But this is more than that. And even in this prayer that Paul's expressing, he demonstrates that it's more than simply being together. Paul and the believers at Philippi hadn't been with each other for a while, and yet fellowship in the gospel was still taking place. And so there's maybe three aspects of what fellowship might be that we'll look at here. Gratitude, perseverance, and affection. And maybe you might say, in place of gratitude, partnership. Partnership, perseverance, and affection. Verses 3 through 5 use these words, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, and always in every prayer, making request with joy." Point number one, part of fellowship is gratitude for partnership in the gospel. Or you could just simply say partnership in the gospel. Paul here is thanking God upon every remembrance of them. In other words, every time that he would think about these precious believers there at Philippi, he would give thanks. He would say, "Thank you so much, God, for these people. Your body that's continuing to demonstrate your love by what they're doing." He's constantly thanking God. He's joyful, and it's thanking God. That's maybe the first stepping stone for real fellowship, is gratitude. Gratitude for your fellow believers. Gratitude for your fellows in the gospel. The idea of fellowship, or the idea there in verse 3, or verse 5, the idea behind the word fellowship is the word that you see there up on the screen, koinonia, which is something like an active partnership. I'm not actually talking about a passive thing. It is kind of passive in our minds, isn't it? Fellowship, being around each other, just kind of, getting to know each other, right? Involving ourselves in each other's lives in a very, I think we have this idea too often, in a very superficial way. Like small talk, which I've gotten better at doing, but I'm not terribly great at that. But that's not what we're talking about. We're not talking about small talk, fellowship. We're talking about partnership, an active thing. And so my question to you is, are you partnering with each other? Are you actively fellowshipping? Are you actively engaging in the lives of the other, in the life of the other? Or are you kind of stepping back and, you know, and keeping to yourselves? Fellowship in the body is not characterized by keeping to yourself.
It's not meddling, but it's or gossip, especially not gossip. But it's not keeping to yourselves. It's engaging with each other. It's actively pursuing relationships in the body, feeding those, partnering. And again, as a backdrop, it's all in the gospel, the message of Jesus Christ, for the believer, for the unbeliever. That's the backdrop of our fellowship. It's not necessarily, working on your car together, or playing a basketball game together, or knitting or crocheting together. That's not as superficial as what real fellowship, what real koinonia is. It's more than that. It will probably include things like that, but it's deeper. One thing that actually demonstrates that is where when Paul says here, you know, I'm praying for you, I pray for you, right? I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy. He does actually pray for them. And any time that he prays for them, any time that he thinks about them even, he thanks God. So it starts, you know, part of active partnership is praying for each other. Thankfully, we have a way that, you know, we kind of systematize that. And I'm wondering, you know, when you get this bulletin every week and you have all the different prayer requests here, are you going through and, you know, checking these off? You actually praying for them? There are check boxes here. You know, it's not a performance thing, but like, do you go through and pray for these requests throughout the week? Do you reach out and see if, you know, requests are being answered? Are you engaging? Are you active in fellowship? Are you praying? Prayer is a real way to fellowship. And it's maybe necessary for fellowship. 1 Thessalonians 1, chapter 2 is maybe a parallel to this as Paul is writing to the Thessalonians. He says, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ, in the sight of God and our Father. Part of fellowship is bringing each other before the throne of grace and praying for each other. The Roman colony that Paul is writing to would understand the idea of sending letters home, or sending, not home, but sending letters to Rome, to their founders, and we are a colony of heaven here. Our citizenship is in heaven, isn't it? And we're just here temporarily. We're just a passing through. And do you make it a point of do you make it a point of reaching out to heaven? Are you specific in your requests that you send? Are you joyful in thinking about the ones you're praying for? If you sent a letter back in those days to Rome and it just was you're needing some help or something, you need some funding for roads or for an arena to be built or something like that in ancient Rome, you know, ancient Roman colony. You wouldn't send a letter back to Rome that was full of vague generalities, would you? Like, I hope you're all doing well out there back in Rome. You know, it's it'd be nice if you could, be nice to us and you could, do some things for us and, just bless us with your favor. We pray like that to the throne in heaven all the time, don't we? Instead of getting specific and saying, hey, we need a road built. Hey, we need an arena. Hey, we need some wells dug. Would you help finance those? Hey, my brother here. He needs victory in his discouragement. Hey, my sister here, she needs help with a health issue and specifically needs help in this way. Hey, we need your enablement to go out and witness. Hey, we need finances for going into ministries that we feel like you're calling us into. And going to God specifically, with specificity, and saying, I need this. And it's for your kingdom. It's for your glory. That's where our citizenship is. And if we pray as if our citizenship doesn't mean anything specifically and practically, then we're missing out on a lot, I think. So prayer is a part of a partnership, part of fellowship, a part of this idea. But secondly, these verses are clear that giving is also a part of this partnership. Giving, financially, specifically financially. Philippians chapter 4, verses 14 through 16, in this same letter, Paul indicates that they were the only ones that were consistently giving to his ministry throughout their time that they knew him. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. In other words, gave. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me. Again, that's the idea of giving, as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica ye sent once and again unto my necessity. The people there in Philippi, they saw the relationship that they had with Paul, not just as a leader helping them out, but as like a partnership in the gospel ministry. In the gospel advance. And one way they could partner with that gospel advance was to give. And clearly they were generous. And they didn't give out of Paul like asking them to or requiring them to or poking and prodding them in it or pressuring them. They just gave. They were generous because they said, hey, we want to be a part of this. We want to be a part of this gospel work that you're doing, Paul. We want to partner with you. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Paul explains to the church at Corinth that these people in Macedonia, they're givers. Moreover, brethren, Macedonia would be where Philippi is located. Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. In other words, Philippi and I don't know, maybe other churches in the area were of the same mind. They basically were forcing and throwing their generosity onto Paul's ministry. He couldn't stop them, essentially. with much entreaty, they asked us to take the gift so that they could take part in ministry, so that they could take part, they could partner, they could fellowship in the gospel. Again, a little bit more of an involved understanding here of what fellowship is. It's not just hanging out, you know, or a church barbecue or anything of that sort. It's actual active participation. Fellowship. That's what fellowship is. And to withhold material support is to withhold fellowship. To give sacrificially is to join hands in mission. And so how are we doing with that aspect of fellowship? Partnership, so that the gospel can go forward, that God's work can be done here, that the kingdom of God can be advanced rather than your own little kingdom or whatever else. Then finally, the idea of encouragement is a part of this fellowship. Encouragement. We see in chapter 2, verse 25, that, and in chapter 4, verse 18, I'm going to read these both. Yet I supposed it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, and companion in labor, and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and he that ministered to my wants. In other words, I'm sending Epaphroditus back to you, who you sent to me to help me out and to encourage me, is part of that, to minister to my needs. Then in Philippians 4, he says, but I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. The messenger that they sent to Paul, they sent to strengthen him, a weary servant, who again is in prison here, in the gospel ministry. And a real encouragement to Paul, he was. He encouraged him with gifts, but also just with his presence, companionship. This is the idea of what we're not supposed to forsake. Okay, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 to 25. A passage that is often quoted to say, hey, you should come to church services. But here's the passage. It says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Notice what the main imperative, the main command here is in the passage. What is it? Correct. Consider one another. And in considering one another, do this. Provoke to love and good works. That's how it looks. Considering one another is provoking to love and to good works. Underneath of that is not forsaking, obviously, because you can't not be around each other and also accomplish provoking to love and to good works. And exhorting one another, but exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. In other words, the main instruction in this passage is to provoke one another to love and good works. And guess what? You can't do that if you're not together. Right? I think maybe that if we learned anything from COVID era, that should be one of the lessons. It was very hard to fellowship truly with each other over Zoom calls, wasn't it? It was very hard to be the body of Christ that we ought to be when we're not around each other, when we're not assembled, like doing what we are as believers. And so the reason why we get together is to encourage, is to provoke, to push and to prod even each other to love and good works. Hey, be the type of Christian that you ought to be. Here's how. And I'm standing there in front of you saying that. And so that's the main idea of that command. And you can't, you know, you obviously can't, not in the most complete way that you could in person. You can't do it the same way if you're virtual. And so even the Philippians, they sent a person out to Paul to be with him, to be an encouragement, to participate in the gospel ministry that he had. And a Christian who never speaks a word of encouragement is a Christian in name only. And I mean that in the kingdom sense of that word. I don't even really like to use the word Christian because it could mean many different things to many different people, and it's really only used three times in the New Testament, kind of used derogatorily. But in any case, a Christian, a one who is focused on the kingdom of God, he's going to encourage in the activities of that kingdom. And the one who doesn't ever do that is not participating in the kingdom of God. And so the type of Christian that you ought to be, the type of believer that you ought to be, is a Christian that is a Christian in name and deed, in word and deed. Encouragement. And then finally, kind of building on that, I think I said finally already, but the fourth aspect of partnership, of fellowship, is presence, and particularly in trials. Paul says, in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, verse 7. They didn't distance themselves from him when imprisonment made him popular. They stayed with him. They even sent a guy to be with him. And we live in an age where it's so easy to just like disengage. It's so easy to just step away and again, to kind of keep to yourself. But presence itself is a ministry. Even if you think you're not doing something so profound by being around another believer, being around them is a part of that. You have to think, many people in many of our lives are not believers. If you have coworkers that you see every day, many of them are probably not, may not be believers. Just to go grocery shopping or any kind of shopping, many of those people are not believers. And I'm sure there's other areas in your life where you're going, you know, you're spending time places where maybe they're not believers there. Just being around fellow believers, fellow Christians that think like you, that want God's will to be done, that love with the love of Christ, just being around them is a ministry, especially if they don't get that so much. And so don't disengage, don't pull away, stand with, reach out to the suffering, reach out to the downtrodden, reach out to the one who is trying to share the gospel in the world. And don't disengage. That's not real Christian fellowship. Again, we're not talking about a shallow social connection here. There's investment, there's prayer, there's giving, there's encouragement. There's just showing up. And less than that is friendship, maybe, which is good. We need to be friends with each other. But we're called to fellowship. We're called to participating in the gospel life. And so the gratitude here of the prayer of Paul in their fellowship with him, in their participation with him, flows right into his expressing of confidence in God's work in their lives. Verse 6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Paul's confident. He has an assurance that God will complete the work that he's doing in the lives of these people. But again, it kind of flows out of their ministry to him. They're showing that they really do love with the love of Christ. This is one of those letters where the apostle is not, you know, basically going after them about how everything's wrong with their church. He's very encouraging and he's very uplifting here in Philippians, and he's confident that that God will continue to do the work that he's doing. That the God who began a good work, that's your salvation, it will continue it, complete it, rather, until the day of Jesus Christ. And God is the one who has to do that. And as believers in the here and now, we look to him to see assurance of his work in our day-to-day, even now. And that's one another blessing of a heavenly citizenship that they had, especially as in light of their Roman citizenship. Earthly colonies can fall or fall under new leadership. Emperors can die. Privileges might fade in an earthly citizenship. Kind of like the citizenship that we have. It's not as though it's a guarantee that we have the citizenship that we have for forever, that's for sure, but maybe not even for long. On the other hand, God and the citizenship that he offers is an eternal one because it's grounded in the eternal nature of God himself. And that's where we have our assurance. That's where we have our confidence, is in God's eternal nature. And that heavenly citizenship that we have is a permanent one. It's not something that can fade away. And so don't be despairing. Even if you feel like, I'm not really a good citizen right now, don't despair. God will finish what he started. When you stand before him and all of the good and all of the bad gets judged, you'll be saved. And that is reassuring. Some of us are probably going to have a bigger pile of eternal reward than others. And some of us are probably going to have a bigger pile of stuff that gets burned away than others. But our confidence is not in those things anyways. It's in Jesus himself and the work that he already did on the cross for us. And so don't despair. God will finish what he started. Don't despair, but also guard against pride. The perseverance in his work comes from him. And that's really the problem with anyone who ends up at Judgment Day with a big pile of things that are going to go up in flames. That's their problem. They were prideful. and being humble and drawing near to God, humbling yourselves, that's the only way. That's the only way to give Him as much glory as possible. Remember that. Like today, live faithfully in light of that day when the eternal things, the things that are worth anything in the kingdom are kept, and the things that aren't are burned away. We'll actually talk about that passage in our small groups. And then finally, affection. Affection, verses 7 through 8. The wording here is that of great affection. He has a personal bond with Him. There's a deep longing that He has. There's a Christ-like affection that He has, because that's what a gospel, that's what someone who's characterized by being a gospel partner is like. He has affection for His fellow laborers in the gospel. I'll just leave it at that. The pastoral love, the unity that you see in those two verses, and the gospel witness that flows out of that, all come from Christ. And that's really what partnering in the gospel is. Gratitude and actively fellowshipping, confidence in God, and affection for each other, for each other in Christ. And we we need to demonstrate our heavenly citizenship more so and more so. Who are you loyal to? Who do you identify as? Where are your affections? What do you really love? That will give some indications as to how heavenward you really think, how much you value your heavenly citizenship. If you really valued your heavenly citizenship, it would mean more than what's in your bank account. It would mean more than your hobbies. It would mean more than the things that you possess, the fame that you have, the successes that you make in the worldly, you know, the successes that you have in the world. Now all those things, throw them in the trash. I want to live for God. I want to live as a citizen of heaven. And those things can just fade away into the background. I don't care about them. It's the kind of attitude that I hope becomes more and more a part of your thinking, as it clearly was a part of the writer of this letter under the inspiration of Scripture, or under of God, Paul, as he's writing this. He cared only about his heavenly citizenship. He didn't even care about his health as much as he cared about that citizenship. And I wonder if we're anywhere near the level where God expects us to be in that regard. And I hope that you would allow God to show you those areas where you're not thinking in a heavenly citizenship manner. You're not fellowshipping because you don't really see the importance. You're not partnering because it just doesn't mean that much to you. And may God help us.